presence of the Lord. Stay right there for a moment, sir. Luke chapter 22. God help me. You sense the presence of the Lord. Chapter 22 is starting at verse 31. We'll read down to verse 34. Just something that God just put in my spirit. I wasn't even sure if I was going to minister. Co-pastor had a surgical procedure on her hand, and so she's going to be out for a minute. She'll be in church, but can't use that right hand, which she happens to be right-handed. So she's home, but she wanted to come, and I said, no, you're not supposed to be out. So we're praying for her. But the Lord just dropped this on me and felt like I needed to deliver it. Luke chapter 22, starting at verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I've prayed for thee that thy faith, somebody say faith, fails not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said, meaning Peter, Simon said unto the Lord, I'm ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. Watch what you say. And finally, verse 34. And he said, this is Jesus, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou hast, or shall thou shall thrice, three times, deny that thou knowest me. In other words, Peter, you're going to deny me three times before the rooster crows. And Peter is saying, God, you don't, no, that's never, not me. But God knows. Somebody say, God knows. God knows. That's just a simple thing I want to drop in your spirit today. I've used this in the past as a bullet point, but just want to use it as a topic. Stay in faith in 2019. Just stay in faith. I know it's simplistic, but it's something that I think we all need to hear, particularly in a time like today. And so many things are going on around us. Our nation, we're dealing with government shutdowns. People are experiencing financial crisis. We look at the news and people who we would never thought, you know, in lines trying to get food. You know, a lot of things are going on. And I believe as the people of God, we've got to know, if you haven't found out yet, hopefully you know now that the government is not your source. The job is not your source. They are just conduits that God uses to get what you need to you. Amen. But at the end of the day, you got to know that God is your source. So if everything falls apart, the last I heard, God said, the silver and the gold belongs to me, that the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, the world and them that dwell therein. So my God, last I read, now I don't know if it's in your Bible, but in my Bible, he said, but my God shall supply all of your needs, and he'll supply it sometimes, most of the time. No, he will supply. When there's a need, God is going to supply it. So I think that's important. So we want to learn, and we got to just put it in our mind and be persuaded in our spirit that no matter what we see, how we feel, we're going to stay in faith in 2019. Tell your neighbor, just stay in faith. If you don't get nothing else, just get that. If you miss everything else that I'm saying after this, don't let that drop. Stay in faith. stay in faith. You know, I was doing a little quick research last few days, and the word faith appears 336 times in the King James Version of the Bible. 336 times. For God to allow the word faith to be present 336 times, maybe we need to pay attention to that word faith. Maybe we need to know that this is how God wants us to live. You know, everything that we do is predicated on our faith. Somebody say faith. Amen. The gift of salvation is based solely on faith in Jesus Christ and the finished works on the cross and his resurrection from the dead. Now, this is according to Romans 10, 9 and 10. Is that what your Bible says? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That word believe, that's faith, believe. For with the heart man believeth, with the heart man believeth, faith unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you go to Hebrews chapter 11, it highlights the heroes of faith. One chapter, chapter 11, is totally dedicated to heroes of faith. Maybe God is trying to tell us something. Tell somebody, maybe God's trying to tell you something. And here's what I want to say. If we are going to live a victorious and experience abundant life in Christ, we must live by faith. No wonder God says, but without faith is what? It is impossible to please me. Only faith in God guarantees us victory. Somebody say victory. That's the only thing. Only faith in God guarantees us victory over every attack of the devil, over every challenge, difficulty life may bring our way. See, what we have to understand is Satan's primary objective is to attack you by creating unwanted circumstances. These are things that you don't want in your life. Where did that come from? How did that happen? He creates unwanted circumstances, challenges in your life, in hope that you will start questioning your faith in God and his word. Somebody say, I know that's right. Because here's something that Satan knows. He understands that because he's very strategic. He understands that once you open the door of doubt, if I can get you to start questioning, and once you open the door of doubt, it's only a matter of time until you're going to stop believing God and what he said and start compromising. In other words, you're going to start walking in unbelief and disobedience. If you don't believe me, that's actually what happened to Eve in the Garden of Eden. You know, God had already given his commandment. He says, of every tree of the garden, you may eat. Adam, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, this tree you don't touch. Can I just use my vernacular for a minute? You don't touch this. So sometimes we've heard that Adam didn't tell Eve, but that can't be true because when you read the text back in Genesis chapter 3, Satan has a dialogue with Eve. I don't know where Adam was. He wasn't around, apparently. Now, if he was, that's even worse. But we're assuming that he wasn't around. So Satan has a dialogue with Eve. And he says, why don't you just eat off this tree here? Of the knowledge of good and evil. She responds back and says, God has said, of every tree of the garden we may eat, but we are not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For if we do, we'll die. So it tells me she knew. She knew. But something resonated with that other side of her. Because here's what Satan said. He says, has the Lord surely said that? Did God say? You already said he did. Then he says, if you eat, what's going to happen is you're going to be like God, knowing the difference between good and evil. Something, when he said that, something must have resonated in her. That caught her attention and said, I would like to probably know about that. And so, she gave ear. Once she gave ear, Adam gave ear. And when both of them gave ear, that was the beginning of their demise. See, if you allow the enemy just a little foothold, If you just give him just one of your ears, it's only a matter of time until he's going to have both of your ears, and the door is going to be open, and now you're going to find yourself walking in a place of unbelief and disobedience towards God. Somebody say, I know that's right. That's right. So my word to you once again in 2019 is what? Stay in faith. Stay in faith. Because whatever the enemy is telling you, it's a lie. The Bible already gives what his characteristics are. He is the father of lies. So whatever he say, it is going to be a lie. So you want to keep your ear to what God is saying. Whatever God has told you, whether it was this year, last year, or 2 years ago, is still relevant and true for the day. If you haven't seen the promise fulfilled, it doesn't mean that God is not going to fulfill this promise. Because what I've come to understand, Brother Eric, God doesn't forget. You know, we forget. We tell people one thing, and then 6 months later, you say, oh, I thought you were going to do, oh, you know what, I forgot. God doesn't forget. God doesn't forget. So if it hadn't happened, it's not that God has forgotten, that you're just not ready for it yet. So what you have to do, you just have to stay in faith. Somebody say, stay in faith. Now, let's go to the text, because the text is all about staying in faith, regardless of what the circumstance look like in our life. Okay, the text says here, back in Luke chapter 22, verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you. Now, when you look at, I don't know if you read, but in Matthew's around chapter 16, Jesus has a dialogue with the disciples. He said, who do men say that I am? And then some said that thou art Elias. Some said, you know, John. Some said, thou art the other prophet. And then Jesus said, but who do you say I am? And it was Peter with his bold self. He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. It was Peter. And then Jesus responded back and said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And then he says, upon this rock I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. It was at that moment that he says, you will no longer be Simon, but you're going to be Peter. Peter meaning rock. Meaning rock, you know, you're going to be established on who I am. This is the Peter. This is the Peter. This is the Peter that Jesus now is talking. So a few chapters previously in Matthew's chapter 16, he's the rock. But now all of a sudden the Lord says to him, Simon. Now, some theologians say that the reason why he called him Simon is because it was a prophetic saying. Because what he was saying is, Simon, or Peter, you're going to revert back to your old ways. And you're going to start operating in your flesh when the pressure's on. Now, can I talk to somebody? See, some of us right now, we're dealing with pressure situations. And the enemy is trying to get you to operate in your flesh. He's trying to get you to say, I can handle this. Is God going to really work that out? You better do something, girlfriend. Because you know, things getting a little tough right now. And if you don't, homeboy, you might want to just try to do something on your own. You going to sit around and just wait on God? How you know God's going to make a way? Come on, somebody. Are you feeling me? He said, Simon. See, be very careful not to allow your old man to rise up and make you think that God can't handle it. Oh, don't look at me like that. You know, some of you last year, you know, when you got in a tight pinch, you stop believing God and you start trying to go for it on your own. Come on, somebody. My question to you, did it work out when you did it on your own? He says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired. In other words, he has requested to have you. Can I tell you guys something? He hasn't changed. He's still trying to get you. He knows you come to church. He knows you worship God. He knows you love God. And his objective is to try to get you. He's still trying. He says he's desired to have you that he may what? Sift. Somebody say sift. Sift. Here it is. Sift means to separate and retain the coarse parts of something like flour and ashes. Okay, it means to separate. Listen to this. The first step in processing, the first step in the process of sifting wheat is to loosen the chaff from the edible grain, which is called the threshing. You ever heard in the Old Testament, we call it a threshing floor, okay? The old-fashioned way to do this, or in ancient time, is to spread the wheat onto the floor made from stone or concrete and to beat it with a flag. In other words, the flag was like a long staff, and on the top of it, it was like this pole that was so long, and it was loosely. It would be loose up there. And what the farmer would do, he would just take the wheat, the husk of wheat, put it on the concrete and just beat it. Beat it. And as he's beating it, the grains of wheat are falling off the husk, you know, the long stalk, and it's falling to the ground. This is what he said. He said, Satan desires to sift you like that. And the whole thing is, it's about separating the grain from the husk of the stalk of wheat. What is Satan trying to do? He's trying to beat you down until he separates you from your faith in God. He's not after your checkbook. He's not after your honey. He's not after your money. He's after your faith. Because if he gets your faith, he has you. He desires to sift you as wheat. So he beats on you. He knocks on you. He brings problems in your life. He brings situations in your life. You know, he causes you to get upset because somebody done defriended you on Facebook. He causes you to get upset because somebody didn't take your friend request. Come on, somebody. Am I talking to anybody right now? We got a whole lot of social media people that get all upset because somebody didn't take your friend request. Tell somebody the devil is a liar. Just tries to beat you down with problems and people talking about you on your job. You know you're walking on the hall and you see everybody at the coffee pot and you know they're talking about you. And everything inside of you start rising up and you just want to grab somebody and say, I know what you're doing. Trying to beat you down. Problems in your house. Problems on your job. Financial issues. Beating on you. Wants to beat you down. Until no longer will you believe. Now I know I'm not talking to anybody right now, am I? You know, let me just preach to myself. I'm not talking to anybody. Just trying to separate you from God. You know, by getting you to a point where you become self-dependent and no longer God-dependent. That's what he's trying to do. Just separate you. Because my faith, see, God has created us with a dependency on him. And anytime we change that, we are walking in our flesh. And my Bible said, no good thing dwells in my members. It also lets me know nothing good ever comes out of the flesh. Tell me one thing good that has come out of your flesh. Come on, somebody talk back to me. Tell me, let me see your hand. If you walked in the flesh and you got something that came out good. No. Don't tell me how you felt at the moment. You may felt good at the moment. You say, I got it. I told them. I told them something. And I told them. But only an hour later, you're all convicted. Because the Holy Ghost start working on you. Who told you to open your mouth and say that? Who told you to, you know, articulate that to somebody? I didn't say that. And don't try to fix it up. God, you know how I felt. You know what they were doing to me. In this world, you shall have tribulation. You're going to be persecuted. People going to say things. But what does he say? Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them that despitefully use you. In other words, no. Don't give me that story that somebody's been picking on you. Somebody upset you. They were wrong. They may have been wrong, but he tells you how to deal with the wrong. And it's never in your flesh. If your enemy hungers, starve him. Oh, you know the word, don't you? I'm thankful. So now you're without excuse. If your enemy hungers, feed him. If he thirsts, give him something to drink. That's how you walk in faith and victory. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through who? Through God. Your weapons are not mighty. His weapons are mighty. We defeat evil with good. Ultimately, he wants to separate you from your dependency on God. And I'm going to tell you, this is the last time to separate yourself from God. Don't do it now. Don't do it now. It's crazy. We don't know what's going on in the White House right now. I don't care if you're Democrat or Republican. We just don't know what's going on. And if you're crazy enough to trust what's going on, then you go ahead. But I'm going to look unto the hills from which cometh my help. My help coming from the Lord. Because when crazy keep on getting crazy, you know what? I'm going to have a peace. Because my peace is in God. Come on, somebody. He says, Satan desires to sift you as wheat. He wants to separate you. And the Apostle Paul said it like this: what shall separate me from the love of God? Are you going to let anything separate you from your faith this year? You know, I know you did last year. Let's just be honest. Can we put the cards on the table? Last year, you allowed things to separate you. Now, I know you came in and you praise and you worship. You know, you lift up your hands. But behind all of that, come on, let's be honest. Can we take the mask off this morning? Behind all of that, you know you really still didn't believe God. That's why you came in with a frustrated praise. Because you really still didn't believe God. No, you got with us. But you didn't believe like us. Oh, come on, somebody. You were among us, but you didn't believe like us. So, yeah, you can lift your hands all day long, but are you lifting your heart by faith to God? Because all we see is on the outside. We see, and it assumes that you're with me. But God knows if your heart is really there, if you really believe me like you say you do. Because there is a praise and a worship in the Spirit that connects to God. Because God knows that by the Spirit, you relieve me regardless of what you're going through. With tears in your eyes, you still believe me. With a heavy heart, but you still believe me. Come on, somebody. Amen. It is the enemy that's designed to sift all of us as wheat. Beat you down. Until you no longer have any kind of praise, you've lost your zeal, your passion, your motivation. You're just a walking corpse. That's all you are. Just walking around. Dead man walking. Because you don't believe God. But this year. Tell somebody, but this year. Now, it's going to be different this year. It's going to be different this year. I'm going to make a decision. See, I can preach all I want to you, but until you make a decision in your mind to say, you know what, I refuse to be the same woman or the same man this year. I'm going to be a man or a woman of faith. I'm going to trust God no matter what. Let the storms keep on raging in my life, but I'm going to keep on trusting God. Let the enemy rush in like a flood. But you know what? I'm going to keep on trusting God. Let everybody walk out on me, but I'm going to still keep trusting God. They may lay me off, but I'm going to still trust God. They may say that they're not going to reimburse me when I come back off the government shutoff. But I'm going to still, come on somebody, but I'm going to still trust God. Because at the end of the day, God's going to take care of me. Now, I know this is tough right now because we are feeling the pinch. Whether you are directly affected by the government shutdown, all of us in some respect are beginning to feel this thing. But could it be that God is trying to get the church ready to understand that when it gets tougher than this, that you got to know that, you know what? I'm still going to trust God and you are my source. I don't know where it's coming from, but I know you're going to do it, God. You may send a raven to feed me by day and night. I don't know how you're going to do it. Maybe you're going to cause it to rain from the sky, but I know, oh God. Man, I'm preaching better than you giving me, better than you said hallelujah right now. Don't you know at the end of the day, nothing's too hard for God. God can get the food to you. He can get the money to you. Come on. He can open the door. He can shut the door. He just wants you to trust him. A few weeks ago I said, is anything too hard for God? He's getting us ready, church. I'm telling you. I'm telling you, he's getting us ready. Some of you got it twisted and you're doing well on your job and things are going well. And all of a sudden now, like the bottom fell out. And you're like, what are we going to do? You know what you're going to do? You're going to keep on praising God. You're going to keep on worshiping. And we're going to trust God that God's going to make a way. Don't let it be said this year that you quote it, but you don't believe it. I want to talk to every preacher. Don't let it be said this year that you preach what you don't believe. But I refuse to be that preacher this year. I'm going to preach it and I'm going to walk it out. I may not be able to see it, but I'm going to keep on walking it out. I may not be able to trace God, but I'm going to keep on believing God. I may not be able to know what God is doing, but I'm going to keep believing. Tell somebody, stay in faith. All I'm trying to tell you is, don't lose your faith. Stay in faith. Because the next verse says, man, I'm so glad. He says, but I have prayed for thee. Shitandorobokanda. You know, sometimes you can reach a point where life is coming at you so viciously until you don't know what to pray. But somebody say, thank God for the Holy Ghost. For when I don't know what to pray, the Holy Ghost makes intercession for me with moanings and groanings that only the Father knows. And I don't know what I'm saying, and you don't know what I'm saying, but the Holy Ghost. However, I may not be preaching to everybody, but there are a few people that understand life is coming at you so viciously until you don't have words to articulate. It's just a moan. It's just a groan in your spirit. I don't know. But some way, somehow, I know that God is gonna make a way. Have you ever been like that? Have you ever felt like that? When you didn't know what to say, you didn't know what to do, but with groanings and moaning, Lord. I'm going to tell you, I've been there, saints. Prostrate on my face. Life coming at you viciously. You shut one door and another door opens right back up. You fix one problem only to have another problem. And I don't know what to pray anymore. Sister Jazz, all I am is prostrate, groaning and moaning. But I'm so thankful that the Holy Ghost makes intercessions. And he's the greatest translator, interpreter of what I say in my times of groaning and moaning, that he gives it to the Father. The Father receives it and gives me what I need in my spirit. And he doesn't always fix the external, but he encourages my spirit. So when I get up after I've been groaning and moaning, my hands go back up. My heart is filled with peace and joy. And I come in the house and you have no idea what I've been going through. I've had a hellish week. But you know what I do? I give him a praise. And I say out of my spirit, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise. What you say about it, Sister Britton? His praise shall continuously be in my mouth. He says, Simon, I have prayed for thee. I've prayed for you, man, that thy faith, that your faith, that your confidence, your assurance, your belief in God and in His Word, it doesn't change, it doesn't fail. Greek word for fail, or the meaning in the Greek is doesn't cease, doesn't expire, doesn't quit. What He's saying, I prayed for you that you don't quit on me. Oh, am I talking to anybody? Because you know some of you last year, you quit on God. See, any time we stop believing, we're saying, God, I don't believe you. We quit on God. He says, but I pray for you that you don't quit this year. That you will stay in faith. Notice, He doesn't say, because everything's going to be good from this point on. He doesn't say that. He just said, I pray that your faith fail not. He didn't promise you that things are going to turn around just like that. He didn't promise you that you're going to get the job or you're not going to get the job. He didn't promise you that you're going to get the promotion. He said, I'm just praying that your faith fail not. Because see, what God wants to know is, you're going to trust me in spite of. Because at the end of the day, all things are going to work together for your good. And you got to know that God always has our best interests at heart. And sometimes it doesn't look like God is concerned about us based on our external situation and reality. Can somebody be honest? It's like, God, have you forgotten about me? This can't be God in this. And the whole time it's been God. And He said, I'm teaching you that the just shall live by faith. He says, I pray for thee that thy faith fails not. Now here it is, when thou. You know, if you look up the word thou, believe it or not, it's plural. Can I tell you something? We highlight Simon as though Simon was the only one. He wasn't the only one that flee. If you check out the text and you read, you know, when they took Jesus, the only one I read about was him and John. I mean, y'all preachers, did y'all see the other disciples walking with him? Yeah, but we highlight Simon as though he the only dog out there. No, he had his other dogs. They weren't around at all. And that's why Jesus said, when thou, when your boys art converted, when you are the converted, go and strengthen our brother. Look at what He said, strengthen our brethren. Why did He say, He didn't just say strengthen yourself. He said strengthen the brethren. Don't ever think you're the only one that's going through. It's a lot of hardship. But sometimes, here's what God does. He allows us to go through so that now we can go back and encourage others that are going through the same thing that we've been up. Do you get it? So that they don't fall, maybe like we fail. You catch them before they fall and say, no, girl, don't go down there. Don't go down there. I've been there, done that, got the t-shirt for it. You don't want to do that. You catch them before they fall. You catch your brother before he falls. And when thou art converted, go and strengthen our brother. All I want to say to you saints is, just stay in faith. Stay in faith. This year. Come hell or high water, I just want you to stay in faith. I want you to stay in faith. Come on, everybody standing right now. I'm going to stop. Got a little bit more, but I'm going to stop.